Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The moment you walked in that door and sat down in the pew, two sermons began. Mine is tied together with the invocation, the absolution, the hymns, the readings, Jesus, his cross, his font, his body and blood, his benediction. The other one, not so much. Right now, at this moment in the service, at more than any other time during this service, these two sermons are locked in a violent fight, and you are squarely in the middle of it. I've got you for the opening, for these first few moments, but very quickly eyes start to get heavy, ears start to hear other sounds, tongues start wagging, the intellect begins to argue against the law and for a few minutes works hard to justify self, to shore up the pricked conscience, and then it's about time to check the watch, the phone, a text, an email, to think about lunch, that afternoon nap, the football game. How long is this sermon anyway? I've got you for the opening. But the devil is hard at work with his minions, with his distractions, to preach his own sermon into your eyes and ears and into your hearts. Which will win the hour? Which will command the day? Which will conquer the heart? Which will give a good conscience and a quiet mind and bring fulfillment and peace? One promises healing and quiet and peace through ordinary words. The other promises much more. Food, entertainment, freedom, friends, happiness. And not as some happy thought or lofty concept, but in the flesh. One actually gives what it promises, the other promises what it cannot ultimately give. So which sermon are you listening to? I've often wondered what it felt like for the man in our text who couldn't hear and who couldn't speak. He saw with his eyes on that day the crowds as they gathered in his town. He saw that they were listening to someone else, that they began to follow him. There had to be excited faces and plenty of talk, but he couldn't hear any of it. Then his friends were pushing him out the door, dragging him along to another event which he couldn't understand and in which he could not participate. He could see, but he couldn't hear, and he couldn't even ask for an explanation of what was taking place. It would be hard for him not to be bitter, not to dream about and wish for the things all those other people had. Hard even for a deaf man not to hear the devil's whispers about how God has forsaken you, about how he doesn't care for you like he cares for all the rest, how this God that you can't hear and can't see, whose existence you can't even prove, he isn't coming to help you. Perhaps he isn't even able to help you. But then all of a sudden, the man was face to face with Jesus. So that the man could understand exactly what was happening to him, Jesus takes him by himself away from the crowd. They go off alone, the two of them, face to face. A sermon just for him. It's harder to be distracted by the impotent devil and his false promises when Jesus is there talking directly to you. When the God that the devil wants you to think doesn't exist or isn't able to help is standing there with you alone. But then it gets even more personal for this man. For Jesus takes his fingers and places them into the man's ears. He spits and then he reaches into the man's mouth and touches his tongue. By this, the man knows that Jesus understands. He can't hear, he can't speak, but Jesus knows. Jesus sighs, not because he can't do anything, but because the man needs to know that Jesus hurts for him, that he understands the bitterness, the weakness, the fallenness, the sin, the loneliness, the despair. And then the man's carefully watching eyes must have followed Jesus' eyes as he looks up to heaven. Where is the source of this healing that is to come? The man sees Jesus' lips move, and he speaks as only Jesus, as only God can speak. Ephatha. Aorist, passive, imperative. Performative speech. Be opened. And the man hears. A sermon of only one word. With that one little powerful word, the man who left his home, being pulled along by his friends, not sure where he was going or why, not being able to participate in hearing like the rest, has his ears unstopped and his tongue loosed. He hears the noisy crowd for the first time. He speaks with understanding and comprehension, and he sees more clearly than he has ever seen before. For now he sees who Jesus really is, the one about whom the prophet Isaiah had spoken. Be strong. Fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. And in that day the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. And that's just what happened. There can be no question about which preacher and which sermon won that day, that life. But which preacher and sermon is owning this day and your life? The one that relies only on words, or the other one that is more tangible to your flesh and appealing to your emotions and natural desires? Do you understand where you are? Who is with you? What your ailment is? Where the solution comes from and how the healing is delivered? Or are your thoughts far from your sin problems and from this decaying world, far from the font, the pulpit, the altar, the cross, from Jesus, far from his living word? Are you here because you want to see and hear Jesus? Or did someone drag you here knowing that even if you don't entirely understand, you need what is offered where Jesus is found? Do you believe that your ever-present God says that his word is powerful, that you are sinful, that you need a cross and a Savior? Or do you struggle to believe that God is really in this place to speak kindly to you, that his words are powerful, that they are effective beyond sight and understanding to save you? Your struggles may not be as obvious to others as this man's were. And God's word may not appear to work such mighty wonders in our day as they worked in that day. But sin has corrupted all of creation, and you know it infects your flesh also. But God's word is just as powerful to heal today as it was that day in the region of the Decapolis. The law of God comes to you and it convicts you of your sins. It condemns you to a lonely life and eternal death. But Jesus stands here in your midst with you, away from the crowds, face to face, and he knows your fallenness and your sins, and he has prepared a one-word sermon for you to hear. He stretches out his arms and offers up his hands and feet to the nails. He is lifted up and he sighs, for he knows just how serious your sins and your needs. He looks up to heaven, and then he says to you, as only Jesus, as only God can, "Tetelestai." Perfect passive. It is finished. Your sins are forgiven. They cannot keep your ears from hearing the good news and from understanding that your salvation comes from Jesus alone. They cannot keep you from hearing and believing. They cannot keep you from hearing and being saved. Jesus unstopped the man's ears so that he could hear the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ crucified for his sins. He loosed the man's tongue so that the day would come when he could declare with orthodox voice what God in human flesh had done for him. And so he did. Ears open, tongues freed, sins forgiven, life restored, sermon over. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.